Well, good morning from me as well. It's lovely to be with you worshipping our Lord as we gather together. This morning we're going to be looking at two different themes. Anthea's led very well into that because Lent is the first one. And we're going to be vying for different Lent challenges because you've already brought one. You got in first, but I've got one too. and later on, we're going to be looking at how Moses went into the presence of God on Mount Sinai, and we'll take some pointers from his experience that might help us in our day-to-day lives as we make time to spend with God. So after the sermon, when we hear about that, we're going to try some of those pointers out together, having a time of quiet to wait on God and listen to his voice. And I trust that God is already with us, of course, now as we come together, and that he will meet with us throughout our worship, as well as in that time of quiet. So let us prepare ourselves to focus on him as we hear some words from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So we're going to sing our praises to God now as the band leads us. He is the Lord and he reigns on high. Please do stand. Please do take a seat. Our first reading this morning has some instructions for us. And in a few moments, I'm going to set you a challenge to carry out one of those instructions during Lent. So Angela, I believe, is going to come up and read to us.
This reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Thank you. Can you believe that Lent starts this week? It feels like January lasted about 6 months just on its own. February, it feels like, is going by pretty quickly, and now Lent is upon us already. So Lent starts this Wednesday. And that means something else is happening on Tuesday. Does anybody know what Tuesday is? Pancake Day! Yes. So, hands up if you are a traditionalist and you like sugar and lemon. Ooh, yep. Ooh, quite a lot. Okay. Hands up for syrup of some sort. Yes. chocolate sauce. Oh, yeah, some. Anything else? Anybody else have anything else they put? Cheese. Yeah. I was thinking about savoury pancakes. My mum sometimes makes pancake, like rolls of pancake with ricotta and spinach in, which is very nice, quite posh. But I'd still go with maple syrup myself. So traditionally at Lent, we give something up. And that's because we're remembering the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus spent in the desert where he didn't eat anything, he fasted. And we do that as a remembrance of what he went through. And that's a good thing to do. And I would encourage you, if you feel that God is leading you to do that, to go ahead with it. But I have a different challenge to go alongside that this morning, and along with Anthea's Christian Aid challenge. There's a Christian organisation called Stewardship, and they run something during Lent called 40 Acts. And this is its 10th year of running, so some of you may have heard of it, and I've probably talked about it in the past as well. And what they ask us to do is to do Lent generously. Okay, and they suggest doing extra acts of kindness, good things in Lent to share God's love. And on the screen, we're going to watch a video of a little girl called Gracie. And a couple of years ago, she decided to do this. I think she says that at their school they were doing it. So we're going to watch that and see what she got up to for Lent. Don't you think Gracie's amazing for doing that? 40 letters she wrote and left them around. I think that's incredible. So I'm going to challenge all of us to think about how we might do some extra things. I know that we already are lovely, kind and generous people, of course, but can we squeeze in a few extra good things to do over Lent, I wonder? So I have something for you, for everybody here, to help us do that. So I need some children to help me hand them out, if that's okay. So it's an envelope. Okay, so would anybody who wants to come and help just grab some envelopes? I think there will be enough for one for everybody. Okay, so if you take anybody else who wants to come and help, just hand them out, I'd be really grateful. Brilliant. Go all the way down the sides. Fab, thank you. So inside, I'm going to take one and open it up. You're welcome to open it up. Not secret. So inside you'll find a resource from 40 Acts. It's a wall chart, a family wall chart. Double-sided, full colour, very nice to look at. And there are 40 different suggestions of things you can do over Lent. Some of them are very simple. Some of them take a little bit more planning, but that's okay. I like this one. Smile at 10 people today. So you'd have to count as you smile at different people as you walk along the road or you're at school. Is anybody missing an envelope? Anybody not got one? Brilliant. Okay, day 12. You don't have to do these in a particular order. You don't even have to do all of them. Whatever you choose to do is a bonus, isn't it? But day 12 says, it's Chocolate Tuesday. Give out anything with chocolate. And very helpfully, in your envelope, you will find a chocolate heart. These are the chocolate hearts that Shan was going to give out last week in the service, but they didn't arrive in time in the post, so I'm using them. So this is for you. It's tiny, but isn't it sweet? Okay, so what I want you to do is not eat it yourself. I'm sorry. I want you to give this to somebody else, okay? Be creative with who you might give it to. I don't think, for the purposes of this, that brother and sister can say to each other, here's a chocolate heart, wink, wink, okay? How about your school receptionist or a bus driver or the person serving you at Tesco or your postie? I don't know, you could think of lots of different people, your neighbour maybe, and just say, I'm doing nice things for people. I'd love to give you a chocolate. Okay, so that's to give away. And there's loads of really fun ideas. That's the family wall chart. And if that inspires you and you think, yeah, that would be really amazing to have a go at those kind of things, then you can sign up with 40 Acts to receive a daily email from them or look at their Facebook posts where they'll have a different act each day and some thoughts about that act as well. I've received them in the past. They're really inspirational. I definitely don't do all of them by any means, but they help me do some things, which is really good. And in the notice sheet, hopefully there'll be information about how to sign up for those if you would like to. So the Bible reading that we had from Angela said, in the middle, do good, be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. So this is just another way of sharing God's love with other people. And God loves people by using other people, and those people are us. He uses us to love the people around us. So I hope you find that inspirational, that you enjoyed watching Gracie and what she managed to do as a child, and to feel like maybe we could all do something as well. And as we go through Lent, I would love you to come and tell me how you're getting on and the different things that you've been doing. God can use really simple things like a chocolate heart or smiling at 10 people a day in ways that we can't fathom, that we wouldn't know, that would seem insignificant to us. But actually, God's Holy Spirit works in people, doesn't he? And we can be a part of that, I suppose. And that's really exciting. So we're going to sing again now before Sunday Club leaves. So let's stand together. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Let's pray for our children and young people and leaders before they go. Father God, we thank you so much for bringing us together to be your family. And we pray your blessing over those who are leaving now. We pray that you will help them to learn more about you, to know your presence, and to have fun together as they learn. Amen. Thank you, Jacqueline. Our second reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 24, where God calls Moses onto the mountain and into his presence. And Dave is going to read that to us.
The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain. And he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
Thank you. So today is Transfiguration Sunday, when we remember the mountaintop experience of God's presence for Peter, James and John, along with Jesus. This morning we're actually going to focus on another mountaintop experience. We've just heard about Moses being called up onto Mount Sinai to meet with God. What struck me about both of these stories is that pretty ordinary people were allowed to and even invited to be in the very presence of God. It feels to me like that is something that many of us might take for granted, because that is normal for us. And others of us might not feel that that would ever be possible because we don't feel worthy. So is there a middle ground between being a bit blasé about being with God and feeling completely unworthy about it? Well, the good news is that being with God is available to all of us, and we should be grateful and maintain a sense of awe and holy fear as we do so. And we might, I guess, call that respect. I've just finished reading a few days ago Michelle Obama's autobiography, which I would highly recommend. I really enjoyed it. And she writes about the few times that she and Barak met our queen. Before they went into her presence, the queen's presence, they were given many rules and protocols to follow. And she speaks of the trepidation of meeting the ruling monarch of our country, trying to remember what to do and what not to do as well. But she also speaks really warmly and fondly about the queen and the times that they spent together. She went into the presence of the queen with the due respect that she should do, but then she was able to hold some very genuine and lovely conversations and even have a laugh or two with our queen. I found that quite inspiring. It made me think, probably in an inadequate way, but helped me consider how I approach God when I want to spend time with him. So as we read in our passage from Exodus 24, I was drawn to looking at the different stages that Moses went through as he went up the mountain to be with God. We're going to have a bit of a whistle-stop tour, and then we're going to spend some time together going through those stages fairly quickly, not like, you know, 6 days or more, just coming into the presence of God and trying it out together as a church and being quiet before him. And it feels a bit strange to say that because God is with us all the time, and he is certainly with us already as we're gathering together now and worshipping him. But I think we can go deeper with God. And I really wanted, I would love to create a space just for a few minutes later on together for us just to be quiet and listen to him. So firstly, at the beginning of our passage in verse 12, God calls Moses further up onto the mountain to meet with him. So Moses knows God's voice. He recognises the instruction. And we need to hear the hail of God, the call of God. So is this something that we are already tuned into? Do you know how God normally speaks to you and draws you to him? Maybe that's new to you. Maybe you just haven't really thought about it specifically like that. Well, you might feel many different things, actually. Maybe it's just this urge or desire that you have to be close to God, and he puts that within you. Maybe there's an event or something in the news that speaks to you, and your reaction is to go to God with it and to be with him. Maybe you're reading your Bible or another book or holding a conversation and something just sparks you, it jumps out at you, and you feel that need to go to God and talk to him about that. Maybe God uses nature to pull you closer to him. Or maybe the worship songs that we sing help you to feel that connection. There are many, many different ways that draw us into God's presence. So when God calls us, we need to have ears tuned in and ready to hear him. And next, in verses 13 and 14, Moses makes some practical arrangements. He knows that he's going to be taking some time away from those that he leads. He's in charge of God's people, and he's the figurehead, but he knows he's got to remove himself from them, and he sets things up in place to allow him to do that. So he tells the elders to wait behind, and he says, Aaron and Hur are here with you. They will step into my place of leadership while I'm away. So have you ever felt that it would just be too difficult to take some time away because there are so many things that need to be done or people depending on you? Moses set up arrangements so that he can focus on God without worrying about what he's leaving behind. And we need to deal with the distractions. It won't help us to go into God's presence, even for a little while, with things on our mind. So if you're planning on spending some specific time with God, do what you need to do first. You might need to write a list or make a phone call. You might need to pay a bill. You might need to get that load of washing into the washing machine and turned on, just so that you can clear your mind. But don't get distracted by the distractions. Otherwise, the time that you've set aside will get swallowed up. It's a scenario that I know really well. You think, I'll just do that, I'll just do that, I'll just get that done. And actually, the time is then gone. There's a difference between practical steps to clear your mind and good old-fashioned procrastination. And following on from that point, in verses 15 and 16, we see that Moses then went. He started walking up the mountain. So this is a physical act of preparation. He moves and takes himself away. And we need to prepare for God's presence. It can be helpful to mark that shift in a physical way. You might have a special prayer corner or prayer chair, or a prayer chair at home where you go to spend time with God. Maybe you light a candle or you kneel down. Could be many different things. Just something physical that is a signal that you are moving forward and leaving those distractions behind. And next, we hear that the glory of the Lord settled on the mountain. The cloud comes. But Moses waits. He doesn't run into it. He waits for 6 days. He is aware of God's manifest presence because he can see it, but he doesn't go straight in. And the Bible doesn't say what he was doing in those 6 days. It doesn't explain why he needed to wait. We just don't know. But I was wondering if he was preparing himself spiritually for entering the presence of God. If that was me, I think I would be examining my heart and confessing my sins and making myself ready to meet my Maker. But we don't know. That's my interpretation of what was happening. But I think that can be helpful, can't it? Just as we come to God to prepare ourselves spiritually as well. So we need to wait for the word. Wait for the word of God to say, yes, come now. And we need to acknowledge that we are under God's timing and we need to be patient sometimes. I always want answers straight away, of course. I don't like to wait. I suppose most of us are similar. But we need to submit to his authority and timings. And we can take some consolation, I think, that even Moses had to wait. A man of God, very close to God, but he still had to hang on and wait for God to say, yes, now. And alongside that, I think we can also be aware that God can be present and silent at the same time. And finally, in verse 18, Moses enters the cloud and goes further on up the mountain. So on this occasion, there's a whole process before he enters the presence of God. And when he does, he stays with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't just pop in, put a few prayer requests in, and then leave. He spends time listening and being with God. So we need to remain with our Redeemer. We need to give time for God to meet with us, to speak to us, and to minister to us. We might just rest in his presence when we do that. We might hold a conversation with him as we listen and talk with him. But we need to listen to our Lord. I think it's fairly unlikely that many of us would spend 40 days and nights directly with God in the way that Moses did, but you never know. But either way, there will be a time to come back down the mountain. And we come out of God's presence changed, as changed people in some way. Perhaps we're encouraged or emboldened, healed. for the new purpose or understanding of his nature. We might come away with an instruction to follow, as Moses did. He came away with about six chapters worth of Exodus, of instructions for building the tabernacle. That's what he was listening to for 40 days and 40 nights. And maybe we come away with an instruction from God. Knowing God and being known by him is an undeserved privilege, but it's one that we were created for. And sometimes God specifically calls us to be with him, as he did with Moses. But we never need to wait for that call for us to come to him, because he longs for us to be in his presence. He wants to be spending time with us. And I would like to say that while I have set out some steps to entering God's presence, they are an observation that I've made on Moses' journey, and they're not a command from God. They may be helpful, but they're not prescriptive. And we may find them helpful, but maybe not for us, and that's absolutely okay. The important thing is always to be focused on God. So we're going to have some time now to be with God in a focused way. I'm going to guide us through the stages, and there will be a time of silence to sit before God, to listen, to rest, and to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And after that, when we come out of that time, there will be a chance for us to share our experiences if we would like to. That's not obligatory, but if you feel like God spoke to you or something happened in some way and you would like to share that with everybody else, there'll be a chance to do that afterwards. So we're going to mentally prepare ourselves first, putting aside distractions. We're going to sing together. We're going to sing to be in your presence. And we're going to remain seated as we do so, just as we prepare ourselves to meet with God. As a physical symbol to remind us we are opening ourselves to God's presence, I'd like to invite you to rest your hands on your lap with your palms up, if that feels comfortable to you. Just relax. You don't have to hold them up, you can do, but just stay relaxed. And to prepare ourselves spiritually, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for creating us to be in communion with you, to know you, and the blessing of being in your presence. We are sorry for the times we've not followed your will for our lives in thought, word, and deed. Please forgive us and wash us clean. Amen. So we're going to have a few minutes of silence, and we invite the Holy Spirit to walk among us, to sit with us, to touch us, to speak the Father's words to us. Try and listen to God more than you speak to him. And when your mind wanders, as it likely will, just bring it back to him. And please don't worry if you feel like nothing is happening, because God will be with you. So let's just be still together and wait for the Lord. Father, we thank you for being with us and loving us. Even as we come down from the mountain now, we ask for more of you. Amen. So the prayer team will be available after the service if you'd like to chat through and pray about anything from that time that we've just had or anything else. They're the people with green lanyards on, and if you just grab one of them after the service, they will be more than happy to sit and listen to you and pray with you. I don't know what God was doing in that time. I have no particular sense, but some of you might have done. So if anybody would like to share anything that God was saying to them, or a sense of God, or a feeling that you had, stick your hand up and I'll come down with the mic. You don't have to, but I think it's good to share if there's something. Okay, thank you. It's unusual for us to be so quiet in church, but I think it's good to allow God that kind of space occasionally. And for some of us, silence can be difficult. For others of us, wow, what a blessing, because we don't get much silence, some of us, in our lives. Some people do, but some of us don't so much. And just to be able to, I guess, hear the, all I could hear most of the time, I think, was the electronics kind of whirring quietly in the background. And for me, that was a blessing. And I do believe that God has been with us, and that he's been working in our lives as he does. And I hope that over the next week or so, maybe you might try that a bit more when you get a little bit of time, if you can. And it doesn't have to be a long time. I think that was about 4 minutes. Don't have to be sitting quiet. You can go on a prayer walk. Be creative with how you spend time with God. So we're going to stand again for our final song. It's a great hymn that calls us to tell of the greatness of the Lord and to remember his unnumbered blessings. Tell out my soul. Father God, we thank you for your presence with us as we have met and worshipped together. And from our love for you, we bring our offerings of money, time and praise. We ask that you accept them and expand your kingdom with them. Amen. And I bless you in Jesus' name to continue to seek out his presence in your day-to-day lives this week, to grow in your love for him and your love for those around you. I bless you to walk, work, and rest in his peace, that you might live your lives to the full and according to his perfect will for you. Amen.